The end. I'm sure you didn't expect me to start that way this morning. The end. Two words that can bring either relief or sadness and grief, depending on where you stand. Recently, Diane and I were watching a series on Netflix. It started off well, it got a little strange, and then it got better, but then towards the end, it went downhill. We got to the end, and we were kind of relieved that it was all over. Endings can be like that, can't they? But of course, we can all think of examples when it's gone the other way as well. I can think of some when I've read other books or seen other movies or television series that I've really enjoyed, and I'm a little depressed when they're finished because I've become so engrossed in the world and the story that the author has created that I just want the story to go on forever. And in fact, in the best stories, I'd be quite happy just sort of disappearing into that new world for a time, at least. But we all know that this isn't how it works. And truth be told, for many of us, those words, the end, bring with them real sadness and grief as well. Whether it's the end of a job or the end of a relationship or the end of your hopes and dreams dashed by life's circumstances and realities. Or maybe it's that moment when death takes a loved one and you'll hear their voice no more. And it's all so very final. And this is where Jesus' friends found themselves on the eve of Good Friday. On the cross, John tells us that Jesus loved us to the end. And there he bore the weight of your sins and mine, the weight of sin that so separates us from God, a sin that so torn and twisted the fabric of our reality and marred God's original purposes and plans for creation. And after bearing the weight of all of that, all of the sin and the suffering and the sickness and pain of the whole world, John tells us that Jesus said, "It is finished." The end. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. With that, Jesus, the King of the Jews, the Savior of the world, was dead. And Jesus' friends were left in shock by that Friday evening. Their dreams were dashed, their reality had been shattered. Jesus, their master and their friend, was dead and buried in the tomb. And with him, their hopes and their dreams were buried as well. It was finished. The end. Their world had been plunged into darkness. And fearing for their lives, they ran away and they hid. But that was Friday. This was Sunday. And Luke tells us what happened next. Early that first Easter Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb with spices to anoint Jesus' body, to finish the burial process that had been cut short and interrupted by the Passover. But when they got there, to their surprise, the women found that the heavy stone that was used as a door to the tomb had been rolled away. And when they looked in, they saw that Jesus' body was gone. And to them, none of it made sense. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two angels appeared, verses 5 to 8, and they said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then they remembered his words. And taking all of the gospel eyewitness accounts together, we discover that this set in motion a number of events. The women went back to tell the others, but on the way, we're told that a number of them, not just Mary, as John tells Mary's story, but not just Mary, a number of them encountered the risen Jesus for themselves, and they worshiped him, Matthew tells us. But of course, when they got back to tell the men what happened, the men didn't believe them. They thought it was all nonsense, Luke tells us. And for so many people today, this is what Easter is like. It doesn't make sense. It seems like a nice holiday with chocolate and eggs and a bit of time off as well, which is always nice. Maybe for them, it's just the reminder that springtime is here, or at least just around the corner, and summer is soon to come as well. The thought of Jesus rising from the dead seems like nonsense. But the mystery of the empty tomb stands before us today as a plot twist and a challenge that cannot be ignored. In his eyewitness account, John tells us that just after hearing the news from the women, that he, that's John and Peter, ran to the tomb to see for themselves. And having seen, John tells us he believed. He believed. Now, you've got to remember that these people knew what death was like. They were certain of the fact that on Good Friday, Jesus was dead. But this day, that first Easter Sunday, the evidence pointed to the fact that something had changed, that Jesus was no longer dead. And over the next few days and weeks, the evidence continued to line up with that reality, that Jesus was actually alive again. This is the good news of Easter. And whether you've come to believe this for yourself or not, the eyewitness evidence that we have before us should at the very least cause you to ask questions. It should cause you to try to make some sense out of what those first followers of Christ experienced that first Easter Sunday. Because if it's not true, if it's just a made-up story, then Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that none of it matters. We're wasting our time. But if it is true, Paul tells us, Easter changes everything. As followers of Christ, we believe and declare that Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. This is what we believe, but that begs the question, why is it that year after year we gather together to commemorate Holy Week and Good Friday, and then we gather to celebrate Easter Sunday morning, and we declare this truly amazing belief that Easter changes everything, but then we go home unchanged? We continue to struggle with the same problems and fears and anxieties that we struggled with before. We continue to remain stuck in the same patterns of thought and behavior that we were stuck in before. On Sunday morning, we say together, Hallelujah, Christ is risen. But on Monday, it's back to business as usual. What's the deal with that? Well, I want to highlight this morning just two ways that Easter changes everything. And then finish by sharing with you how you can leave this place changed today and forever. First of all, Easter declares in glorious technicolor that since Jesus rose from the dead, then those who believe in him and follow him will one day be raised to life again as well. Easter changes our future. This is what we're reminded of in a funeral service, or when we read passages like 1 Corinthians 15 or Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, where we're reminded that when Christ returns, he will transform our lowly bodies to match his glorious body, his glorious resurrection body. And that points to how Easter brings glorious hope for the future. And we could spend a whole morning just talking about that. Because we all want there to be more to life than what we can see. We all want and have hope that there's such a thing as life after death. And Easter gives us bright hope for tomorrow, for what the future will bring. But that's only the first part of the Easter message. What about right here, right now? Well, that's the other side of the coin. And the second way that Easter changes everything, because Easter changes us. The good news of Easter is that we don't have to wait until after we die and until Christ returns to know Easter's power in our lives. Because when we receive Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, he gives us his Spirit to live in us so that we can experience the reality of his life and his presence at work in us every day, to change us, to transform us, to make us more like him right here, right now. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verses 9 to 11, he says, "And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you." The good news of Easter is that Jesus died and rose again so that you and I could experience the resurrection power of God's Holy Spirit, his life at work in our lives, right here, right now, today. We don't have to wait until we die to experience resurrection in our lives. We can go away from this place today changed. This is what Paul's trying to tell us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new has come." That's transformation, that's change. And of course, we can try to ignore these truths. We can try to ignore the Easter message that Easter changes us, that we have hope for the future. Tim Keller tells the story of a minister who was in Italy, and there he saw the grave of a man who died centuries before. He was an unbeliever. He was completely against Christianity. But the man was a little afraid of Christianity too, of whether it might be true, and if it was true, what might happen. So the man, when he died, his dying wish was to have a huge stone slab put over his grave so that he would not have to be raised from the dead if there was a resurrection of the dead. The stone slab was to keep him down if such a thing were to come. He had insignias put all over the slab saying, "I do not want to be raised from the dead. I don't believe it." That was his wish. Evidently, when he was buried, an acorn must have fallen into the grave. So 100 years later, the acorn had grown up through the grave and split the slab. And it was by that time, 100 years later, it was a tall, flowering oak tree, towering above this slab. And the minister looked at it and said this, "If an acorn, which has the power of biological life in it, can split a slab like that, a slab of that magnitude, what can the acorn of God's resurrection power do in your life and in mine?" Tim Keller comments, he says this, "The minute you decide to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit comes into your life. It's the power of the resurrection. The same thing that raised Jesus from the dead. Think of those things in your life that you think are immovable mountains, immovable slabs in your life. Think about your bitterness, your anger, your insecurity, your fears, your self-doubts, all those things that you struggle with, your addictions and so on. Those things can be split and rolled off from your life because of the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you. The more you know Him, Christ, the more you grow in the power of the resurrection, and the more you are changed as you become more like Him by His Spirit. You see, what the disciples had failed to realize and what we fail to grasp if we miss this point is that when it comes to dealing with the problem of sin and death that separates us from God and from one another, when it comes to being set free from our addictions and our sin and our shame that holds us back, Christ's death and resurrection is our only hope. It's the only solution. It's our only hope for experiencing change and new life, the new life that we long for. Listen, right from the beginning, we read the beginning of the Bible, we learn how God created all things and it was good. All of creation was perfect and it was living in complete harmony with God. But then Adam and Eve did the unthinkable. They turned their backs on God. They chose to do the one thing that God had told them not to do. And in their rebellion, sin entered the world, and with sin came sickness and suffering and death. Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans that because of what Adam did, we have all been tarnished with the same brush. He was our representative. We've been tarnished with the same brush. Because of his sin, all of creation it has now become twisted and warped. None of it is the way it is supposed to be. Not you, not me, not the created world around us. And deep down, we look out there and we look in here, and I think we know that. We're not the people we wish we could be. We long, as we look out there and as we experience life, we long for there to be peace. We long for there to be justice. We long for a world without pain or hunger or hurt or oppression or evil. We long for life without anxiety. We long for life without fear or addiction or darkness or suffering or illness or death. But this is exactly what God said would come if we disobeyed. And this is why Jesus had to die. Paul again explains this. He says, "For the wages of sin is death." Death. "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Meaning that the resurrection was God's stamp of approval on what Jesus had done to bring about life instead of death. Jesus came and he lived the life that the first Adam should have lived, and then he died the death that we should have died in our place. On the third day, he rose again. It is finished. The end. The work of redemption is done. The curse of sin has been dealt with on the cross. And with Christ's resurrection on Easter Sunday came a whole new beginning. The start of our happily ever after, the life with God that we long for, the life that we were made for, the life forever in God's presence that we were made for, a life that starts here today and goes on forever. And because He lives, one day all things will be put right. At the very end of the Bible, Revelation 21, Jesus gives the Apostle John a vision, a picture of the future, of what's going to come. Listen to what Jesus shows John there. And John writes and says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place. His presence is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' And then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children.'" Did you hear that? Jesus says, "Behold, I am making all things new. I am going to renew the fabric of the world, and I'm going to renew the fabric of your life. And that's the end of it. Now, because of Easter, the curse of sin has been broken, and the dream of life with God in a renewed world is once more our reality. And it's possible for each of us to begin to experience that reality today, not in its fullness, but in part on this side of heaven. And this is the life with God that you and I were made for. It's the life, actually, that deep down we long for, whether we realize it or not. It's a life in the Spirit that changes us and gives us strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. It's the way that life was always meant to be. But how do we get to live this life? Well, you need to believe that Jesus really is the Son of God who died and then rose again so that you could be forgiven and you could receive the new life in the power of God's Holy Spirit today. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." But here's the thing. Believing in Jesus isn't just thinking that this is all somehow a good idea. It's not just thinking up here, "Well, this all sounds great. And okay. No, believing means you've got to own what he's done for you. Paul explains this in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. He says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Some of us this morning might be saying, "Well, I've done that. But I'm still struggling with the same old things. How can I change?" Well, let me leave you with a thought this morning. When it comes to transformation in your life, when it comes to becoming more like Jesus day by day, when it comes to leaving this place changed, when it comes to conquering your fears and your anxieties and dealing with your addictions and your hang-ups, when it comes to dealing with your ugly patterns of behavior or your compulsive disorders, when it comes to experiencing healing from your past and hope to go on, you can't do it on your own. My guess is you've tried. You need Jesus to do that for you. If you've given your life to following Jesus, then he invites you this morning just as he invites all of us to come to him with your stuff and to let him begin to deal with it. Come to me, Jesus said, and I will give you rest. And notice that Jesus doesn't suggest that we just try harder to get over our stuff. Notice that he doesn't just say, well, you need to obey better and do my commands better. Or you need to read your Bible more or pray better or come to church more often, though those are all good things. He doesn't say that. He says, come to me. Find life and rest and peace in me. Look to me. Stop trying to fix yourself. You can't fix yourself. Let me do the changing in you by the power of my Spirit at work in you, because the power of the Spirit at work in you is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's power. Because of Easter, God's Holy Spirit can now come and live in us, bringing the very presence of Christ into the midst of our lives, into the midst of our circumstances, into the midst of our hopes and our fears and our dreams and ambitions, into the midst of our problems, meaning that as we trust in Christ, as we seek his face, we too can be transformed and become more and more like him every day. And not only that, the situations and the circumstances that we face in life, the ups and the downs and even the tragedies and the disappointments along the way, even these too can be transformed and changed into something hopeful, even something good, as we let God do the work of transforming even the worst things and turning them around for his good and perfect will. If you don't believe me, if you're not sure that what I'm saying is true, look at the cross, the darkest day in history, when we killed the Savior of the world. Even more, look at the empty tomb. Easter changes everything. It changes our reality and it changes our world. It changes us. And it can even change our circumstances if we trust in Christ to rescue us and bring us back to God. A few years ago, a friend of mine lost his battle to cancer. I may have told you about Scott before. Scott befriended me when I was a young person, having become one of the youth leaders in our church. His life story was a story of God's amazing grace and transformation in his life, bringing light into the darkness, bringing hope into the despair and the hopelessness of drink and drugs, and bringing new life at the point of sin and spiritual death. That was his story. For Scott, looking to Jesus changed everything for him. He went from a life of wild living to a life of following Jesus Christ. Scott was a changed man. As he grew in his faith and deepened his life of following Jesus Christ, in time he got married, and then he was called to the mission field, and he went and served in Belgium for a number of years. And over the course of his life, he was used by God to tell the story, the good story of how Easter changes everything, about how Jesus died and rose again for our salvation. And he shared that message with so many. But recently, a few years ago, Scott passed away. While I feel sad that my friend Scott has died, because of Christ's death and resurrection, when I think of him, I'm filled with hope. His life was one that was marked by the very thing I'm talking about this morning, and some of you can relate. Your life has been transformed, and it's been turned inside out. The things that were holding you back and messing you up and holding you down in life, Christ has sorted that stuff out, and he is sorting it out even as we speak. But not only that, because of Christ's resurrection, for Scott, he knew, and I know, that his death was not the end. Because Christ conquered death on the cross and in rising again the third day, Scott is more alive now than he ever was. As he stands in God's near presence. Why is that? It's because Easter changes everything. Why do we celebrate Easter Sunday? Well, because of Easter, your end can now be a new beginning. And lives that are hopelessly lost can be found. People who are stuck in destructive patterns or addictive behaviors can be set free today. Lives marred by the effects of evil can be set free and put right. And we can once again experience life as God's friends in his presence. And not only that, because of Easter, all of creation, which even now groans as it waits for Christ's return, will one day be transformed and brought back to the wonderful perfection it enjoyed right at the very beginning. Because of Easter, all will be made well. All will be put right. You see, the reality that was dawning on those first disciples and the reality that we celebrate this morning is that Easter changes everything, and it will change you too if you let it. At the end of John's gospel, we were being reminded this morning in our boiler room prayer time. John writes and he says this. This is his eyewitness gospel account of what happened. He says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Jesus came to bring you life. Life in all its fullness. I wonder this morning, this Easter Sunday morning, have you received that life for yourself?